Morning, church. It's good to be together. If I don't know you, I'm Russell Jarvis. I'm an associate pastor here at Calvary. And I tell you, life's been interesting these days, isn't it? Interesting times. Last year, Harvard professor Arthur C. Brooks began writing a regular column in The Atlantic called How to Build a Life. And it aims to give readers the tools to construct a life that feels whole and meaningful. Well, there's nothing wrong with this per se. It certainly reflects the question that we as humans are always seem to be asking and thinking about. How can I experience a full and meaningful life? And I think that's been brought to the forefront of our minds, especially even just within all the circumstances of the last year or two. And there's lots of experts, and there's lots of self-help books, and there's lots of voices that want to share with us how we can have a full and meaningful life. But, you know, Jesus has something to say on this topic as well, and with far more reaching impact. So please turn in your Bibles with me to John chapter 10. The title of my sermon today is simply, Life to the Full. And while a lot of different people have answers for us about life to the full here on this earth, Jesus speaks to life now and for eternity. So if I could invite you to stand with me for the reading of God's word, we're going to read John chapter 10. Verses 1 to 21. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, that your word is true. Lord, thank you that you are present here with us. God, I ask that as we unpack your word this morning and your message for us to this morning, Lord, that you would speak to each heart in the way that only you can. God, we know you're here in this place, but we invite you now, Lord. Lead us, speak to us, have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So this is a familiar passage to many. And in verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And some translations say abundant life. And isn't that what we all want? Abundant life to the full. But often we look in the wrong places. So how can we experience life to the full? We're going to answer that in two parts this morning as we work our way through these verses in John chapter 10. The first step is to recognize who Jesus is. Just a quick context. Right before our passage in chapter 9, John describes how Jesus healed a man who had been born blind. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, are mad because he did it on the Sabbath day. He broke the religious rules. It's not supposed to be done. And that leads them to accusing Jesus, being angry about what he's done. He's just done this incredible work of God. This man is healed. And the Pharisees don't want to recognize who Jesus is, that he's doing the work of God in their midst. And so at the end of chapter 9, Jesus basically says, hey, I just healed a man born blind, and he can see. You claim you're the religious teachers, but you're the ones who are blind. You refuse to recognize who I am. And so as we get into chapter 10, if you look at verse 1, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees. Again, he's speaking directly to these religious leaders who are refusing to see who he is and what he's doing as being from God. And then this time, in our passage today, he uses this imagery that's very familiar to his hearers. And Pastor Frank talked about it earlier. We have this shepherd and sheep imagery that is not familiar to us, but would be very familiar to these hearers because it was part of their daily lives. Pastor Frank spoke to a little bit of that earlier. I'm just going to highlight two quick things. The first is that we got to make sure that we understand sheep are helpless. They're completely dependent on the shepherd. So a good shepherd or a bad shepherd makes all the difference in the world. He's not just helpful to the sheep. He's the difference between life and death for the sheep. Shepherding was a tough job. Shepherds were rugged and strong. But even more than that, there's some Old Testament symbolism also at play here. Leaders of God's people are often compared to shepherds and are held accountable for being good shepherds or bad shepherds. Listen to these verses from Ezekiel 24. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? My shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. And then God goes on in that text, God describes himself as being like a shepherd to his people. He says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. So even just in this opening imagery where Jesus is describing shepherds and sheep, it's very familiar language, and yet there's some symbolism and meaning laden here that's already indicating and implying that Jesus, like God, is the true shepherd, that he's a shepherd who looks after his sheep. And there's an indictment here, a subtle indictment here, implied for bad leaders, those false shepherds who are looking after themselves. He even uses that language of thieves and robbers looking to take something. But as we get to verse 6, it says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. They got the example of sheep and shepherds because it was common, but they missed the spiritual point that Jesus is making. So he expands on the imagery. He expands it, and he starts to make even more direct statements. verses 7 to 10, he goes on, he says, I am the gate. Now he's making it really clear. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. He says, you have to go through me. I'm the way to be saved, to have life. Sheep will come in and go out and find pasture. It's clearly a picture of life and well-being. Later on in John chapter 14, 6 and 7, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is making it clear to them, I am the only way to know God, to see God, to have life, to experience life to the full. And then he goes on even more directly in verses 11 to 18. He says, I am the good shepherd. Again, Jesus' listeners would know, a good shepherd equates to life. A good shepherd means protection, provision, care, and well-being. Look at verses 11 to 13. It says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When they're confronted with death and destruction, in this example, a wolf, the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Why? Because he cares. Because he loves more than any hired hand. In verse 14, he says it again, this time more directly. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He repeats this four times in verses 14 to 18, so it's obviously important. I lay down my life for my sheep. It's sacrificial. But Jesus is not a victim, is he? His sacrifice is on purpose. It's purposeful. It's intentional. He says in verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. It's not a conditional statement. What he's saying is, God and I made this plan together that I'm going to lay down my life for the purpose of taking it up again. He was foretelling his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave, so that he could provide new life, eternal life, resurrection life to everyone who would recognize who he is. Jesus would give his life so that his people could have true life. And in verse 18, he makes it clear. He says, I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. He has divine authority to do this, because he's one with the Father. Even going back to verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Again, he's talking about non-Jews, Gentiles, people from every nation that he's going to bring together who are going to hear his voice and recognize who he is. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus is implying he's not just a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Again, remember our Old Testament imagery. He is God, the shepherd, who will call his people, who will care for them. He'll lay down his life for them and give them true, eternal life. He is the good shepherd. But then as we read in verse 19 to 21, those who heard him were divided. Some refused to recognize him. Look at the question at the end of verse 20. Why listen to him? You may be asking that yourself, depending on where you're at in life this morning. Why listen to him? There's all kinds of voices out there that want to tell us how to have a meaningful life. But Jesus tells us clearly, he's the only way to have true life with God. He's the only way to know God, the creator of our being. The Pharisees refused to recognize who he was. But others said, wait a minute, He opened the eyes of the blind. There's something here about him. And Jesus, again, he's saying, the blind can see clearly who I am. Will you recognize who I am? And so just like the Pharisees, just like Jesus' listeners, we have a choice to recognize him or to refuse, to accept what he's saying about himself or to reject it. But he's telling us clearly, and we have a choice to believe, to recognize him. You know, John in chapter 1, 10 to 12, says that Jesus was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus wants to give us life. He says it clearly. But we have a choice. You have to recognize who he is. Believe what he's saying about himself. Choose to see him as God. But that's only the first part. How can we experience life to the full? We have to recognize who Jesus is, but we also have to respond to his voice. When Jesus talks about the sheep in this passage, he describes this relationship in a really interesting way in verses 3 to 5. Look at that with me. He says, the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. When Jesus talks about the sheep in this passage, he says, they listen, they know, they follow the shepherd. They listen to his voice so they know him. And that's why they follow. And even though this shepherding and sheep imagery is really familiar, the way Jesus is describing this relationship is unique. It's very personal. It's intimate. He calls his own sheep by name. He doesn't just call out to the flock. He calls each individual sheep by name. He knows them individually. He speaks to them personally. And they listen. And they know his voice. And they follow. As we read a few minutes ago in verses 14 and 15, he goes even deeper. He says this relationship, he describes this relationship as mutual. He says, I know my sheep and they know me. There's a very personal, knowing relationship. And he even says, this is characterized by divine intimacy. He says, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Intimacy, unlike any other. It's an active, dynamic, experiential, personal, transformative relationship. Sheep listen to his voice. And he says, he calls them out and he leads them. He's not behind them, driving them, forcing them. He goes ahead of them. He makes it easy for them. He calls to them one by one to follow him. And he goes out before them and leads the way. They listen, they know him, and they follow him. By the same token, the sheep don't listen to or follow pretenders, do they? They don't just listen to anybody. It's very specific. Everyone else here, it's implied, has a self-interested motivation. These thieves and robbers, these hired hands, they're looking out for themselves. And this is because, overarching, over top of all this, Jesus says, there's a spiritual enemy There's a thief, the thief, the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's an enemy here that doesn't want Jesus' sheep to have life. He wants to do everything he can to destroy that. It's the opposite of Jesus, the opposite of life. So if we want to have life to the full, we have to recognize who Jesus is, but we also have to distinguish between the voice of the good shepherd who leads his sheep out and the thief who wants to destroy the sheep. We have to learn to discern the shepherd's voice from all the pretenders, from all the false voices out there. How can you do that? How can you listen and get to know his voice? There's some simple things that we know, that we talk about all the time, but that are significant that God's given us. His word in the Bible, the very word of God, Jesus' own words here for us, living and active. As we spend time in the word, knowing God, listening, meditating on the word, absorbing, learning about God, we learn, we get to know him, we learn to hear his voice. Helps us to distinguish. God, is that you? But Jesus also promises that everyone who believes in him will receive the Holy Spirit, God's own presence dwelling in us. When we recognize Jesus for who he is and believe in him, God lives in us through that third person of the Trinity, through the Holy Spirit. And we can commune with God in prayer. Not just talking to God, but hearing from God. Listening to him, hearing him speak to us personally, to call us by name through his Spirit, speaking to our hearts, speaking through our minds. God also gives us the community of believers to help us discern his voice, that we don't just have to process on our own, but together to be able to discern, to listen, to hear, and respond to God's voice, to know, God, is that you speaking? And there are some things that we can't discern by ourselves, that we can only discern together as the body of Christ, because God gives different people different gifts in different parts of the body. And we need each other to discern and to understand how the Lord is leading, how he's inviting us forward, and how he's calling us to respond. And also, as we respond to his voice, as we act in faith and take those steps, we start to have more experience of knowing him. Our relationship deepens. And we can start to discern with more clarity when the Lord is speaking or when it's some other voice in our head or some other voice out there. And these things, we can use all these things together. His word, his Spirit in prayer, the community of believers, our past experience and testimonies of walking with him to discern his voice, to know him, to follow him. What does this look like in a life? I want to share two stories of two different men who heard from the Lord in significant ways. Sometimes the shepherd's voice in our lives may lead us in directions we weren't planning to go or didn't think we wanted to go. But if we trust that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives us life, then we follow his lead, whether we understand it or not. Some of you may know the name Richard Stearns. He was the longtime president of World Vision, the largest Christian humanitarian organization in the world, working in over 100 countries to help children. In one of his books, The Hole in Our Gospel, Rich shares how he didn't want to take the job at World Vision, but he discerned and he heard God speaking to him through some of these ways that we mentioned, and he knew that Jesus was leading him to it. Before he worked for World Vision, he worked for 23 years in the corporate world, and he says, I was the CEO of Lennox, America's finest tableware company, producing and selling luxury goods to those who could afford them. I lived with my wife and five children in a 10-bedroom house on 5 acres just outside of Philadelphia. I drove a Jaguar to work every day, and my business travel took me to places such as Paris, Tokyo, London, and Florence. I flew first class. I stayed in the best hotels. I was respected in my community, attended a venerable suburban church, and sat on the board of my kids' Christian school. And he goes on to say, the position at World Vision was not something he wanted. He says, I had not sought this position. In fact, I had prayed that God would send someone else to do it. Anyone but me. Yet the board, and presumably God, had inexplicably called me. They had reached out and said, we believe that you're the person that God is leading to become the next president of World Vision. And he says, I was afraid. When his wife asked him how his day had gone, he couldn't talk about it. He said, I was an emotional basket case. And so at 4 p.m., I slipped into my pajamas, crawled into bed, pulled the covers over my head, and began to weep and pray, crying out to God. This is a corporate CEO who is making almost 7 figures, pulling the covers up over his bed, crying out to God. And he says, I began reading my Bible with greater intensity. But when I came to Matthew 19 and the story of the rich young ruler, I wanted to run for the scissors and cut it out of my Bible. This young rich ruler approached Jesus with the question, what must I do to get eternal life? And Rich says, as he read this passage, he saw himself in that man. He was young and prosperous. He was likely held in esteem by his peers. He had worked the whole system and had ended up at the top. Rich Stern says, that was me in spades. Everyone who knew me would have said I was a poster boy for the successful Christian life. Church every Sunday, great marriage, 5 attractive above average kids, a corporate CEO with a Bible on my desk, a faithful supporter of Christian causes. But he said Jesus' words from Matthew 19 hung in the air. One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, then come follow me. And Rich goes on to say, while he doesn't believe that Jesus is saying that to everybody, he heard Jesus saying that through his word to him. He also had another person in his life that challenged him and said, are you willing to be open to God's will for your life? And Rich Stearns heard God speaking to him, you lack one thing, Rich. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. And he says, quitting my job, selling my house, moving my family to serve at World Vision was uncomfortably equivalent to what Jesus had asked of this other rich young man. But Rich Stearns responded to God's voice. He heard God leading him, the shepherd's voice, leading him, calling him personally through the community of believers. This board of directors, he hadn't sought the job. He didn't want the job. Please, God, send somebody else, he prayed. And he heard God's voice speaking personally to him through the scriptures, through the word of God, and through prayer. And he responded. Let me tell you another man, Charles Mully. You may have seen the movie Mully. If not, I recommend it. It's great. Charles Mully was born and raised in a Kenyan village in a very impoverished family. His father was a drunkard and abused his mother. And at the age of 6, his family left and abandoned him and left him in his hut alone. And he became an orphan. He says for the next 10 years, he was just begging. And he went around everywhere begging. And eventually, he walked for 3.5 days to the city of Nairobi. And he eventually was able to, someone hired him to do some house help, and he worked, and over time, he got married, he got promoted, he had kids of his own, he began a transportation business that led to other ventures, insurance. He was eventually able to become an oil and gas magnate in his country. He became a multimillionaire. He had all these businesses. He had 8 children. His life was going well. He was a believer in Christ. He was part of a church. He was seeking God. And God spoke to him and called him. He was tormented, he said, by seeing the children on the street, the orphans. And he recognized himself in them. And God spoke to him. Through that, the Holy Spirit impressed upon his heart to respond to God's voice and to serve those children. And he didn't want to do it. He said he sat and he drove and drove in the car. And he sat in the car and he wrestled with God in prayer for 4 hours. And he was tormented until he finally said, "Yes, God, I'll do it." And from that point on, he went home, he told his family, he said, "I will no longer work for money." And he began bringing kids from the street into his home. He gradually sold off his businesses. People thought he was crazy. And when the kids got too many for his home, they started adding on in their compound and building other shelters, and then eventually moving out to this land and starting Mully Children's Family, this Christian ministry, and he continued to serve and rescue more and more orphaned children. The place where they were out was arid and dry. They needed water. Kids were getting sick from typhoid. He and his wife went out and prayed on the land. Again, through prayer, they heard God telling them, "There's water here." They dug and dug, and people were saying, "This is crazy. This is crazy. You heard from God, there's water here." They kept digging, and eventually water sprang up. And it irrigated the whole area, the land. Everything was transformed. Kids were having clean water to drink. All these things that took place. Again, Charles Mully, God spoke to him in prayer through the Holy Spirit. These two men called by the shepherd in different ways, in different countries, through different means and mediums, but the same voice, the same spirit, very similar missions to help impoverished kids throughout the world. It's easy to hear stories like this and think, wow, well, those are just miraculous things that happen every once in a while. They don't happen day to day. They don't happen to ordinary people like you or me. Why do we think that? Whose voice is that? Jesus says, "My sheep, listen to my voice. They know me. They follow me because they know my voice." These two men weren't looking for this. They were ordinary people with very different backgrounds. Both had grown up and experienced worldly success. The danger in sharing these examples as I was praying about this is that any of us might hear this and again, just think of those things as not related to your life or my life. But I can tell you from experience, and I know so many of you have your own stories of God leading you, of hearing him speak to you through the scripture, in prayer, listening to him, hearing him impress upon your hearts and your minds, pray for this person, serve here, give here. Will we respond to the shepherd's voice? Will we believe him? You know, for so many Christians, our experience of life can often seem less than full. When Jesus says he came to give us life, is that just something for later in heaven? Or does it also mean now as we walk with him every day? Listen, eternal life, life to the full, starts now, and it lasts forever. Life to the full, intimacy with Jesus. It's available to us moment by moment. Not specifically in our life circumstances, but in walking through each circumstance with him, our good shepherd. rather than feeling that life is abundant, life for some of you might feel just full of demands and pressures and mundane weekly routines and obligations, or maybe even a series of hurts and challenges and discouragements. Listen, even as followers of Jesus, we can get into the habit of just checking off our spiritual disciplines. Went to church, did this, did that, but still feeling like there's something lacking, something less than vibrant in our faith life with God. Even with the Bible, with the Holy Spirit, with a community of believers, we may have a hard time discerning God's voice and hearing from Him. How can we take steps to listening, knowing, and following His voice every day in our ordinary lives? This is a deep topic itself, but I just want to give a simple overview before we close. A few things. How can we hear from Him, you and I, in our day-to-day lives? First of all, we have to believe what He said is true. We have to believe that He calls, that He leads, not just generally, not just in the Bible, but to each of His sheep whom He knows by name. We have to believe that what He's saying is true. We also have to be open to hearing from Him. It's easy to get caught up in thinking, oh God, He speaks to, He leads other people, but not me. Or just to be focused on all the things that we have to do and not be open to God's direction for our lives. So we have to choose to be open. Lord, I'm open to hearing from You. We also have to carve out time to listen, to wait on Him. It's easy to just be busy and going about responding to everything. We have to choose to listen. We also have to be willing to act. If we want to hear from God, are we willing to act? And when we do hear, whether we understand fully or not, whether we always feel like it makes sense or not, if we're discerning that Jesus is leading us, we have to obey by faith. Because He's our good shepherd. He wants to give us life. And remember, the goal is not for us to get all the answers, to make our lives easier, or figure out all of our circumstances, or get God's blessing on everything we do. Oswald Chambers said it this way. He says, we look upon prayer simply as a means of getting things for ourselves, but the biblical purpose of prayer is that we may get to know God Himself. That is true life, knowing God Himself. This is what Jesus offers when we trust Him. Not just one time at salvation, but eternal life every day of our lives, now and forever. Intimacy with God by faith, if we're willing to recognize who He is and respond to His voice. So if you're looking for more from life today, there's a lot of other voices you can listen to, but Jesus is the only voice who can give you true life to the full, now and for eternity. Life to the full by recognizing who He is, by responding to His voice. We can have intimacy with Jesus now and forever, every day, personal relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You that Your words are true, that these promises are real. Lord, thank You that You're inviting folks this morning, even now, Lord, to respond to Your voice through Your word, through Your Spirit. Father, I pray that You would speak to hearts even right now. Lord, for anyone here who calls themselves one of Jesus' sheep, Lord, I pray that we would open our hearts to You, that You would invite us how we need to grow in responding to Your voice, in listening to You, in knowing You, in following You. Father, would You speak to Your sheep right now and invite them? Invite them into deeper intimacy with You. Lord, I pray for anyone today who's hearing this, who's not a believer in Jesus, maybe who's never listened to him before now, who never recognized his voice in the past, but are hearing it through his word today and recognizing for the first time who Jesus really is. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here who's having that experience, who feels that tugging on their heart, that they would recognize you speaking to them and that they would respond. If that's you right now, I'm going to just ask you to pray in your heart a prayer to God to respond to Jesus today and put your faith in him as your own personal Savior. You can pray this: Jesus, I believe you came so that I can have true life with God. I believe you're the good shepherd who laid down your life for me, and I trust in what you have done for me, that you died on the cross to take away my sins. You rose from the grave so that I can have life in you. I want to listen to you, to know you, and follow you. Thank you that you care for me and give me life. Amen.